broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
We can't help but weigh in on the Roseanne cancellation. 12-year-old Melania Giudice releases an album, New York's Luann accepts a plea deal, and Bethany Frankel can't fight. We question, is Angie Cohen sleeping with John Mayer? Eddie and Armin from Buttered Pop join the rants. Let the ranting begin. I am joined by Eddie and Armin over at the Buttered Pop Podcast, a pop culture podcast. The hosts are here. They're joining the rants. They're ready to sound off. They speak our language with pop culture and reality TV. Welcome to the rants.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Grant.
Hey, Eddie and Armin. Welcome to the show. Are you prepared to talk about everything going on in the world? There's a lot.
There's so much. I'm ready. Are you ready, Armin?
Hardly, but I'll try my best.
Yes. Well, let's just get it over with. You know, we're on a show. It's called Hollywood Talk. I have to talk about Roseanne. It's all been said. You know, it really, what else can we possibly say? But, you know, just the whole thing with this one, I just feel my first inclination was to make a tweet about all the jobs lost on this show. And I, of course, I always think like in terms of production and, you know, these people, this show was picked up at ABC, not only for the fall of 2018, but for the fall of 2019. I can't imagine the scheduling department and ad sales. There's still buses going around town that say it's the number one new show and for your consideration. What an odd look for a big network. You know, talk about a mess. What do you take? What's your take on all this?
I mean, personally for me, I think even though it's super crazy and it's not something we've really seen before where they are just like, you know what, we're cutting this completely. We had plans for you. It's good to go. And then they're like ripping it away. I think it was in the best interest of everyone. And I do think that these people who are working on the show will find something else. I mean, they're already talking about maybe doing a spinoff with some of the characters where the cast would be able to keep their job and the crew would be able to keep their job, just minus Roseanne, which would, could be good. But I think maybe something completely different, like not even have her in it. Like we're moved on. We're ready to go. Like, let's leave it in the past. Let's find something new.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really unfortunate that when someone like Roseanne, who has so much power and influence over, you know, a show's production, does something like send out such a, you know, racist tweet. And then you look at the collateral damage and all the, you know, people who whose lives get affected by it. And Eddie's right. There's a lot of talks of spinoffs, and you'd hope that ABC does the production crew right by maybe finding them other work on other ABC shows. But at the same time, if you were on that Roseanne production crew, just think about this. You're on season one. It's such a success. And you're thinking, oh, we got stability for 4 or 5 seasons and our families are taken care of.
Yeah.
And we know what we're going to be doing for, you know, the next half decade of our lives. And then Roseanne does something, you know, just so incredibly mindless. And then it just hurts all these other people. But, you know, at the same time, I think ABC absolutely did the right thing. You know, what she did was truly unforgivable, at the least in the short term. And that you can't have someone like that representing your company in such a public way.
Yeah, I mean, ABC has been getting a lot of great publicity because of this decision. I mean, almost it's been unanimous across the board that people, at least in the public, public zone of the world, all really have been happy that they did this. And I think, again, like a lot of these conversations have all been kind of like, well, everyone's trying to figure out like who they want to be and what they're going to put up with and what's appropriate and what's inappropriate. So it's kind of nice for some people like myself who are just like so thrown off by the direction of things to at least see someone have some type of consequence for poor behavior and words. And, you know, everyone seems to forget that, you know, her history, this isn't a first thing with her. Didn't she post a bunch of pictures that they were trying to hide of her dress as Hitler or whatever?
Hitler with cookies. It was not okay. This is history. She has shown this behavior multiple times. So this isn't like a first checkup on the list. And I saw something that was like, this should have been done a while ago. They shouldn't have even given her the opportunity to fail at, because she's done it before and she did it now. She'll do it again. Like, I think they just cut it off and they're like, you know, they made the right decision.
from a programming perspective, as far as ABC goes, it must have really hurt some people in there just to see that show go, in the sense that it was their number one performing show, and they really have nothing on ABC that was getting any type of buzz or press the way that show was getting. It was getting praise and Emmy attention and all this stuff. So for that, of course, they did the right thing by getting rid of it. But for that alone, like, just as a programming executive, you finally have something. I mean, their sitcoms have just been like, I mean, Modern Family is still on television. I mean, they've just got nothing. So now they really have. Now they're really, like, in the negative.
Yeah, they really have nothing now. Like, this is gone, too. But, I mean, Greggy Bennett had a lot of really good suggestions on his Instagram story recently of things they could bring back, including one of my favorite shows, Ugly Betty. Like, I'd love to see an Ugly Betty revival.
That is one of my all-time favorite shows across the board. I love that show. What a great show.
It's good to see another Ugly Betty fan. I grew up on it. It's like, it's my everything. I love that show to the death.
Yeah, that's the show that I have that I put on demand when I, like, need an escape from the world. And that always just makes me laugh and just puts me in, like, almost like where I was back in, like, 2006. Like, it's so nice. But go ahead. Sorry, Armin. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, think about the state of affairs for network television, that, you know, we're looking towards a show that ran in the 80s and 90s to revive ABC, or we're looking to revive Ugly Betty, or we need to spin off one of these television shows. It's just unfortunate, because you see in other spaces, whether it's like cable programming or obviously streaming, where they're being very creative and inventive, and they're giving auteurs the actual opportunity to create something without obviously the pressure of having to, you know, attract such a big audience and, like, get those high Nielsen ratings so then you could get the advertising dollars. But that's just the state of affairs for network television right now. So they're looking for these, like, guaranteed hits instead of trying something fresh and new. And every now and then there is something a little fresh and new. Like, I actually just started Black-ish, and I finished it very quickly on Hulu. And it's a very unique take on the same sort of, I guess, framework of, like, a big family and the dynamics between them. But obviously it's a lot different. And they also play with style a lot. Like, some episodes feature a lot of animation, and other episodes are musical. They'll do a multicam episode. It's mostly shot in single cam.
Wow.
But they need it. Like, they need to try more stuff like that.
Yeah. That show gets a lot of praise. Actually, that show does get a lot of attention, and it does do fairly well in the ratings too. I think come nomination time, there's always someone either nominated from the show or behind the scenes on that show, which is rare these days for network comedy. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so I'd just like to see them take more chances.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree, especially all those, with the excluding Black-ish, that all the ABC comedies really kind of fall under that same multicam docufollow feel for me. And I just don't really, not even necessarily docufollow, because I'm just thinking Modern Family in that sense, but, like, the single camera, like that Mom, American Housewife, or whatever, like that.
American Housewife. That's cute. I like that show.
To me, they're all carbon copies of the same thing. It's like, you know, a middle American mom who's, like, stressed out, who has kids that are growing up. Like, we've seen it a million times.
And I'll eat it up anytime they feed it. Don't put it past me.
So, I mean, as far as Roseanne goes, I think for the majority, at least in my neck of the woods, like, people are just, like, so glad the world is done with her. Like, we don't need her to make an appearance. We don't need a redemption tour. I don't want to see a book tour. Like, can we be done? That's where I'm coming from with Roseanne. Are we done now?
My hands are washed. I'm over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just retreat into the shadows and go away forever, please.
Yes. Well, taking a real different transition, Melania Giudice, someone who doesn't need to go away, who's probably not going away anytime soon, this girl, 12 years old, she celebrated her album release. Good for her. I mean, you know, I'm busting my behind for this live show on the 30th of June. And just, this girl, good for her. She's out there. She's doing this album release. Bravo cameras are there. She's attracting celebrity. She's in Page Six. I mean, I look up to her. I look up to her.
I've always had a thing for Melania. I've always known she was going to be a star. She is Queen Eternal. She always had the best quips on New Jersey. Still does. She's a little firecracker. This album is going to be everything. I love that Fetty Wap is supporting it, her idol. I can make out some of the words. I saw a small clip and she's dancing. She said she calls her friends Tiffany and Stephanie, and they're going to go pop some tags, get their nails and hair did. Like, I'm ready for this, like reimmersion of Melania. I'm ready to see the new incantation of this queen that's going to create our Bravo screens. I don't know about you guys, but I'm here for it.
Well, I've always wondered what she would become. I was always curious, like, the type of, like, young adult Melania would be. You know, she has a lot of energy. She has a big personality. Like, how does that translate into, like, a tween, you know? And so we're about to find out. It looks like all the Jersey kids have really grown up, like, over the last, like, 6 months.
Oh, yeah. That picture of, I think it was, of Gia and Antonia at the album release, I was like, they are no longer little girls. They are women. They are ready to take on the world. And the Joes must be shaking in their boots because they're not ready for those ladies to be unleashed upon the world. And, you know, as a father, they must be terrified.
I'm honestly far more interested in Gia's singing career. Honestly, ever since she dropped that happy birthday song for Melania herself.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, anywhere Gia goes with her singing career, that's where I want to follow. Like, I'll never forget the Melania, I will always love you. And don't you forget it.
That poor girl will never live that down. That girl. That is
the first you were one, then you were two, then you were three. Oh my God.
In, like, one of the saddest birthday parties ever. Because, like, no, remember, like, nobody was speaking, but they were there for her.
Oh. Well, because then she turns the Melania song into a song about, like, how her Uncle Joe and her mom are, like, their relationship has been frayed. And like, she was saying, like, things like, oh, I'm so stressed every day. And it was so intense.
It was.
That's your artist.
It was. Now, this girl, Melania, her own father's in prison. She doesn't seem the least bit stressed. She's waiting to get her nails done. Good for her.
Yeah. Hey, and she still got the money. She's ready to have fun, just like her mama, Teresa. Yeah. They're doing their thing. Who needs a Joe?
Yeah, I'm excited for this Melania storyline. I think it's long overdue, and, you know, I'll take whatever I can get on these shows. I like to think that they're going to be moving a little bit more towards, like, having fun and being more of, like, a goof than they are being just so fight of the week all the time. Like, I think universally, I think people just want to be entertained more than anything else. Of course, I appreciate a good fight in shade all the time, but, like, I'm okay with, I do enjoy the goofiness of some of these shows, as long as it's not too much. Like, I love Dallas, because Dallas is so absurd, and they know it. That's really my style of Housewives.
Oh, I'm here for the drama. I'm a drama guy.
I'm a fight of the week kind of guy.
How do you feel, though, now? I feel like it's so, like, overproduced at this point, and I enjoy that, but, I mean, to what point do you feel like you need a different flavor? What point do you have enough? Like, I sit through Potomac, because it really is set up like the fight of the week.
Well, I don't sit through Potomac. There's that. I'm here for, like, the real drama between, like, I mean, for, like, me, like, New York and New Jersey are, like, the realest fights, because you have New York and they are so close, all of them. They actually are all intertwined in each other's lives, so that their drama is 100% real, even if it is a little bit forced. And Jersey, that's family, and that drama runs deep and that's real. And so when I see the drama on Jersey, I'm like, I can sit through this because I want to see who is going to be removed from the family, who's getting, like, iced out, what's happening. That's the drama I like. I don't like the produced drama, the fake drama. I need a fight filled with tons of heart and come from, like, a real place, anger and hurt.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Yeah, I get it, totally. But for me, with New Jersey, I think that ship has sailed a while ago. I feel like they're trying to find, like, new blood and all this stuff, which is fine. But I'm not as invested as I was. And if you think about it, like, when was the last time Jersey was that good? So, I don't know. I'm very critical of that show.
No, I understand. And I they are kind of bringing Danielle back, but Danielle's on the wrong side now. And I miss Jacqueline, and I miss the Manzos. Let's be real. That's who I really miss. Bring back the Manzos.
Well, they definitely should pay Caroline whatever she wants, because, I mean, to me, it's like a last-ditch effort. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I love Margaret, and she's like great addition to that show, but you know, it's just not enough for me to keep going with that. But let's talk about New York. You mentioned New York, and I want to bring this up because this is our next topic, of course. Luann's plea deal. According to the Bravo Daily Dish blog, she will enter a plea to a lesser misdemeanor charge. Initially, she was arrested on charges of battery on an officer, disorderly intoxication, resisting arrest with violence, and crimes against a person. So she's really kind of whittled it down, if you will. And it's, of course, you got to love how this stuff all works out, because here we are. It's like 6 months later after the arrest, we're seeing it play out on the show, and now it's coming to a head, and everything should be done and wrapped up. Court date is July 25th. So how are you feeling about how this is all coming to a head on the show?
I mean, for me personally, I was waiting for this like moment on the season since I heard the news.
Same.
I was like, I need to see how this plays out. I need to see what happens. And who knew Lou was such an escape artist? Like, first of all, I just gotta say that. The way she slipped out of those handcuffs, I was taking notes. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do a magic trick inspired by Lou on how to get out of handcuffs, because that's incredible. Like, that's a talent.
No, it's called being super skinny. And Eddie, you fulfill that that qualification.
Right, 100%. Right. I love that the sound effects they used in that editing sequence, the slammed "to be continued." Like, we all know what's going to happen. We've known for 6 months, like, and what there is to continue. But I love that they tried to like make it into this big like cliffhanger moment, because everybody's, like you said, like they've been waiting for this. So it's finally time. And like, I'm sure Luann is like dying in a way for this to just get over with, so she can, because she's so moved on and she's so doing her own thing. And she's like turns lemons into lemonade by like months worth of time now. And she's got the show going and she's out there on The View singing, like doesn't give a damn about any of this. So I'm sure she's like ready for this to be so behind her at this moment. But it's also really made her like who she is now, which to me, I've deemed her like the singing housewife. Like, that's her claim to fame now. She has to pop up on all these shows. You hear this voice in the wings and then she appears.
When she sang happy birthday to Andy Cohen on The View the other day, I was crying laughing. Like, she is just full of Lou, and I'm here for it. Like, go Lou. She's living her best life.
I agree. I love her. I don't know why I never really like had so much attention put on her before. Like, I just, like, she was always there and I enjoyed her like occasional one-liners, but now I'm like, when I'm watching scenes, I'm watching to see like what she's doing, what she's saying, like what's going on, with how much is she drinking? Like, all my attention is on Lou.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I was already so compelled by her growth through the last few seasons. Camille, who sometimes co-hosts the Buttered Pop podcast with us, would say on the Roni recaps all the time that Lou was delusional. She coined that.
I like that.
Because she you know, truly was. She was super delusional about everything and anything, you know. She lacked self-awareness, and then when the whole Tom ordeal happened last season, I thought it was like super embarrassing. But you saw in these first, 8-9 episodes, I thought, you know, Lou was having her best season, and like you guys said, I mean, we all knew she was about to hit rock bottom, but you could already see her turning the corner and starting to have like a level of self-acceptance and self-esteem that she never had before. I liked when they were at the Berkshires and she was cracking jokes about how she fell into the bushes the year before, and like that's why she wasn't going to touch tequila or something. I forgot the exact context, but you were already starting to see her, I feel like, really come out of her shell in a way, I guess. And then this happens, but you know, like you mentioned, Grant, like what we've seen over on social media and television since the arrest, if anything, that may have like been the moment, the event to actually like propel her to like full acceptance and like to fully be her most authentic self, because now she's like touring the country with this like cabaret show and like she's really killing it.
Yeah. I mean, she really has made it work for her, which I admire. You know, she took whatever bad press she could and made it into a success for her. You know, just is capitalizing on it. And she genuinely seems really happy right now, and I would be too. I mean, good for her. I like people that are resilient, and that is her. So I admire it. I think more people could learn from her. I mean, but again, like you said, like a little delusional. Like, I like that she has like really like no shame in any of this. Like, it's kind of interesting.
I mean, well, that's how you have to be, is like shameless, because I mean, your life is going to be like shown to everyone in basically the entire world. And if you can't laugh at yourself and move forward and be like, you know what? Crap happens. Like, let's move on. Like, you're not going to survive under the world spotlight, especially the Bravo spotlight, because us Bravo fans are the most critical, I think, of any fans anywhere.
Yeah. I'll say this, though. It pays to be a housewife, because if you're not a housewife, those multiple counts of felonies end up with you in prison for 3 to 5 years. But when you're a housewife, it ends up in book deals and television mm-hmm. show appearances. So it does pay to be a housewife.
Yeah, it does. In fact, she originally pleaded not guilty, and she rejected a plea deal in February. So my, how the tides have turned. Yeah. So, you know, whatever. It'll all be taken care of on July 25th. So that'll be it for that whole debacle. But I've been waiting to see it play out. It's almost kind of like, oh, I like kind of felt like, oh, when's this coming? When's this going to drop? And the way they wove it into the end of that episode, like the last 3.5 minutes, they definitely dropped it like a bomb. So it was well done. It was well edited, I will say.
Wasn't that a nice surprise to actually see the footage from like the police dash cam? I didn't expect that coming.
Me neither. I was wondering what they would do. And I wondered, like, you know, they must have had to pay up for that and everything. And, you know, of course, this is still like an open case, so I wonder how they could get a hold of that, you know. But I guess it doesn't make a difference, but I'm sure some poor post PA had to make a few phone calls to the Palm Beach police department about how much do you want. One thing I want to say about New York is I want to give a dishonorable mention to Bethany, because that girl cannot argue or fight. And I don't appreciate it. I don't like people that, if you know, if you're going to engage or call me out or implicate me in something, you have to at least be able to have a good two-sided argument. And that one playing up, I mentioned this before but on the show, but playing up all the minutia again, watching her behavior in the Berkshires and just the way she shut Carol down. And like, I admire Carol for really keeping her cool. She never lost her mind. And I would have lost my mind with Bethany, because you can't talk to that woman.
Grant, you realize that Bethany is Eddie's spirit animal, so you just offended Eddie.
Well,
but I have to say,
this is the truth according to me.
Okay. Okay. I have to say, though, I'm Team Carol in this fight, because I've said it before and I'll say it again. This fight is so reminiscent of Jill Zarin and how she treated Bethany when Bethany was like on her level. Like, it's so frightening how the tables have turned, and now that Bethany thinks she's like this queen bee, she won't even listen to a word that Carol has to say and is just like right in her mind in her way. And you know, I think Bethany should go back and watch a few seasons ago when mm-hmm. you know her, you know, Jill was doing the same thing to her, when you know Jill was so mad at her for not seeing and reaching out when Bobby was like, you know, not doing okay or whatever. And you know, and Bethany tried to apologize and Jill wasn't having it, because Jill had her own right mind. And now Bethany's doing the same thing. And you know what? It's not going to end well. I just see this ending very badly for Bethany, just in the view, like, I don't know, in the image of her fans.
I think so too. She's very hard to defend.
Yeah. This last episode was tough for Bethany. It started Bethany versus Carol. And then there was the brief Bethany versus Luann, because Bethany called Luann a loser. And then it was Bethany versus Dorinda, because she didn't give Dorinda enough of a thank you. And then it was Bethany versus Ramona. Bethany was just catching L's all episode long. Yeah. You rarely see that too with Bethany. She's so composed typically. But in this episode, it seemed like she really didn't have her bearings. Camille had a good theory on it. She feels like Bethany is like a little overwhelmed, and she's like maybe like running herself too thin with all the different projects she has going on. And she typically can focus and prioritize the Real Housewives a lot more, but in this time period she's obviously traveling a lot back and forth between Puerto Rico and New York, and trying to raise as much money for Be Strong as she can, and still running skinny girl and starting the skinny jeans.
Don't forget the skinny girl jeans, which are the most disgusting jeans ever created or known to me.
Is she still doing the deli meats? Is she still doing the deli meats?
There's not a thing that Bethany will not try to monetize through Skinny Girl. I'm telling you, tomorrow she's going to have her own heart transplants in 5 years. Skinny Girl heart transplants for those who didn't make it skinny enough in time by Bethany.
The thing with her is I look at Bethany and I'm like, do you want to keep doing this show or not? Like, I don't really get it with her. Like, she says things and then she's so above it, but yet she needs it to be able to continue to fuel her brand and her business. Like, I can't figure her out. Like, what are you doing with the show? You know, are you continuing with this? Like, I don't know. She's one of those that's like, I can't tell if she's in it or what. I feel like you're going to be all in. Like, someone like Lou's all in, you know, and I respect that.
I mean, I'm going to take the words that Bethany used against Adam and say, I think she's an opportunist. She understands that this show is going to give her everything that she needs. And as much as she hates being on it and doesn't want to participate, she knows that it's what's fueling everything that's around her. Yep. So I think she's kind of stuck.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Carol put out a tweet. She was just talking about how Bethany, like her best friend is producing TV or something to that effect. And, like, I think it's true. I think Bethany is one of those that is just, like, always in producer mode. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, she's a very successful businesswoman. I mean, most people in that position would think, how can I make this work for me? But I think even as a producer, I feel like she... You know, I don't think she gets a producer title on the show, but I see her like self-producing so much, and so that to me doesn't work for me anymore. Doesn't work. There's just too much of that. There's too much good reality TV. I don't know. I don't care for her.
Yeah, she's leaving a bad taste in my mouth this season too. I'm definitely my favorites of the season. I mean, I always will love Sonia and Ramona, but I think Luann is winning the season for me.
Yeah. I think so, too. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk more with these two guys. We're going to learn more about their podcast, Buttered Pop. And we're going to be talking about Andy Cohen turning 50. So let's do that in a moment, and we'll be back. Now this.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Eddie and Armin from the podcast Buttered Pop. And we're going to continue to talk about what's happening. A friend of mine earlier this week, she came up to me and she's like, oh, did you hear about John Mayer and Andy Cohen, that they're sleeping together? And I'm like, wait, what? So she's been trying to, like, build this case to me that they're, like, an item and, like, hooking up and all. So, you know, you guys sent me a link. I did a little bit of research. I don't know. There's some things out there, but everything is just saying that they're really good friends. And they, you know, E is even calling them a pair of best friends. You know, I don't know. Is there anything to this rumor? What do you think?
For me, it's a fantasy dream that John Mayer and Andy Cohen are an item. I actually had this conversation with my roommate last night, and I was like, so, like, how long do you think they've been dating for? And she's like, who? And I was like, you know, Andy Cohen and John Mayer. And she's like, they're not dating. And I was like, I can dream, can't I? But, like, I think it's just one of those things where they're just really good friends, and just because, you know, everyone wants Andy to find love and John's just known as this player, like, everyone is just in their head standing in this relationship. And, like, I'm not going to lie, I wish they were dating, but I don't think they are.
Armin, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, 0% chance to this rumor, you know? I mean, I think it's very common, actually, for a straight guy and a gay guy to be good friends, if not best friends. You know, I don't think... I think it's more... like Eddie said, the fantasy of the fans to want to imagine, like, oh, there must be something deeper
right
there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Andy must be attracted to him sexually, right? But as Andy himself has said, look, obviously John Mayer is a good looking guy. We can all say he's handsome, but he's like, John Mayer is more of a wingman for me, actually. Since he's tall and handsome, he helps me get other guys when we go out to the bars. So I think it's all just like fodder for tabloids and, you know, clickbait online.
Yeah.
You know, there doesn't have to be anything between two people. Just like a guy and a girl could be friends and there doesn't have to be anything between them. So can a guy and a guy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the way it was pitched to me, it was pitched to me as fact. So my mind was like instantly going like, oh, okay, well, I'm not super surprised. I thought maybe like on a psychological level, looking at someone like John, who really has been with everybody and then again, like, been with them, went back to them and then broke up again. And I was thinking, I was like, well, maybe that all like comes to mean something. And maybe he found some type of a connection in Andy. Cause like, I'm a big believer in like fluidity and things like that. So I was wondering if maybe, you know, after all these years and all these relationships, if they, you know, found, you know, attention in each other and all that. And then I was like, well, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. And like you said, like Andy went on Howard Stern and he's like, I have love for him, but I'm not in love with him. And I believe it. I mean, I think that Andy would be very honest if there was something going on with them, just because it would make such a fantastic story.
That's the thing. Like, when have you not known either of them to not be pretty open about their exploits, you know? Like, they would put it out there.
Yeah. Someone referred to them as the new Oprah and Gayle. I mean, I guess. You know,
that's a cute way to put it. But is Gayle really a lesbian?
Oh, no. No, so I guess, how does that compute? Yeah, no.
Me? I'm like, wait, I thought so which that one is either the... of them were gay, but we're gay for each other. Never mind.
I guess they're just like a bromance similar to the level of Oprah and Gayle. They're close, I guess. I don't know. I'm reading between the lines.
Me spreading rumors about Gayle being a lesbian.
I know. I get tickets to some of the live shows. Say that again? I'm just kidding. Oh, that's terrible. But, you know, Andy, you know, I don't know. I'm not really that invested in his relationships. The whole Anderson Cooper thing, I don't know. To me, it's boring, but... You know, they said another article a few weeks ago was like, indeed, Andy is single. Like, I don't really care about these people's relationship statuses. So I'm not that invested in the storyline. Or storyline, like it's all fake, but.
Storyline. I'll tell you what it is. Andy's new storyline with John Mayer.
So apparently, John Mayer, at the time of recording the show, Andy's like live 50th birthday bash or whatever it's going to be over on What Happens Live has not aired. But apparently, they switched chairs. John surprises Andy and he hosts the show, which, you know, I think is kind of a nice twist. And I've heard a lot about this 50th birthday. So it should be quite the spectacular. So, you know, have you heard anything?
I mean, I saw that Sarah Jessica Parker gave Andy Cohen a speech at the actual birthday party. And I know that Jimmy Fallon came on stage and was singing happy birthday to him. So with Andy, you know that all the biggest stars are going to be there to celebrate. So I don't know what we're going to see in the special, but I hope it's some of his very famous friends.
Yeah, I'm always looking for an excuse for a good party, so I'll definitely watch. But I hope there are some like good surprise drop-ins. It's hard to beat when you think of their LA shows when they did the whole like 31 doorbells. Like, how do you like?
You can't. You know,
how you surprise? Yeah, like what can you do? Like, who are you gonna bring out next? But yeah, no, it'll be a good show overall. So I'm looking forward to watching that, and you know, I guess we can judge for ourselves. I'll tell my friend, watch to see if there's any secret chemistry between John and Andy.
All look like fools. This podcast is going to be released after the Watch What Happens Live Andy 50th birthday special, and watch us all look like fools when John and Andy formally announce their relationship.
Yeah, yeah, there's an engagement at the end.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Hey, you know what? Andy would be very smart to release that on his own show. You know, that would get some good press worldwide. So he'd be very smart to do that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't see it happening. So anyway, let's talk to you guys. I want to hear more about, you know, I've learned about you guys building this podcast network, which is something that I do for a living. And that is not an easy gig. I mean, it's so much work to be able to really make a good footprint in this digital business. Tell me about the network.
Eddie, do you want me to take this one?
I think you should take it. You're a head honcho over there. So.
Well, so the network, I guess it started organically without the intention of actually building a network. It originally started because I have a very strong fascination with the NBA and everything that happens, you know, like on the court, but also off of it. The NBA is a very dramatic league. And I started I Heart Basketball, the podcast, but then I also wanted to talk about Game of Thrones and Vanderpump Rules, because I've been obsessed with Vanderpump Rules since the beginning of season two. But it just didn't feel like it obviously fit the brand of I Heart Basketball.
Yeah.
So that's when me and Camille conceived the Buttered Pop podcast idea. And Eddie came on shortly thereafter to recap with us Real Housewives and Vanderpump Rules, because Eddie was equally as obsessed with that kind of stuff as we were. And so from there, it's just kind of like slowly built up. And once we started to like gain a pretty good following, we found an opportunity to like kind of start this network. And we'd been floating around network ideas for a while. And then we said, well, why not just make it the Buttered Pop podcast network? Because, you know, we always joke that Buttered Pop is the podcast for feeding your pop culture appetite. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, pop culture is such a vague term. I mean, people sometimes actually put politics even under the purview of pop culture nowadays. I mean, think about it. Reality, you know, star is our president, right? So basically pop culture and politics have now married each other.
This is true. Yeah.
So we're like, basketball could fit under that. There's so many pop culture-y things with basketball. So we've made the Buttered Pop podcast network. And then since then we've launched the RuPod, which covers every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. And then this comedian out in New York, Mary Beth Barone, who's super funny, she has her own podcast under our network called Mildly Offensive. And she basically brings other female comedians on to talk about like different TV shows and movies that kind of like put women in a bad light. And basically the objectification of women through TV and movies, but in a very funny way. It's not like, it doesn't take itself too seriously. You know, it's not a very serious podcast. It's obviously comedians talking about this stuff. So it's a fun podcast, but yeah, so that's what we have so far. And it's a lot of fun.
Now, with you putting together something like this, like you said, pop culture, like you can go in so many different directions. Like, how do you go about just like reining in all your ideas? Like, you know, it's so exciting to be able to really talk about whatever you want and come up with a podcast for it. Like, how do you develop and like say like, well, what's going to be put on hold? Like, I feel like I would go crazy and like want to have so many different shows going, you know?
So much of that is a function of labor bandwidth. Like,
yeah,
how much can't, right? Like, how much can we do? What are our resources? Who of our contributors are available and interested? Like, Eddie, since the beginning, has been unbelievable. Like, he almost comes every single week, and we tape different recaps, whether it's like Vanderpump Rules or Summer House or Real Housewives of New York or New Jersey or Beverly Hills. And Eddie does even YouTube segments for our YouTube channel. He has his own little weekly segment called Roni's Roses, where he gives a rose and a thorn.
I've watched.
Yeah, so we do.
Oh, goodness. All my Roni's Roses.
All right, Grant, give us a critique of Eddie's Roni's Roses.
No, tell us
everything
bad.
That's wrong with it.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. I was going to react to it and say, I'm so glad it really only is 1 minute, because I'm all for short form content. And there's too much of that stuff on YouTube that goes on and on and on. Like, there's this one guy, I won't say his name, but like, he just like will go off for 15 minutes on one little like blind item about Real Housewives of Atlanta, and it drives me crazy. So I think a minute is such a good thing. It's a quick watch and you know what you're getting, and you know it's just enough. It's just enough, and it allows you to be able to really kind of think like, I think I agree, or maybe I would rotate the two, you know? So I think it's just enough. I would keep going. That's my, I'm giving you my blessing to keep going, Eddie.
Thank you so much. I was, you know, I was ready for you to just, you know, as I say, tag and drag, where you tag the person and drag them for everything that they're doing wrong. So I appreciate the kind words.
No, I don't work that way. Yeah, no, I don't work. Because you know why? Because I know just to be able to maintain a series like that is just like, it's so much more extra effort to just like, oh, I have to do one this week. Like, what is it going to be? You have to really give it some thought and then create it and produce and upload it. I'm not going to drag anybody for all that work. You mentioned in an email that you have a rotating set of hosts, there's studios involved. Like, how does all this work? I'm very curious. Coming from AfterBuzz, it was on a large scale, and they had different studios that we moved and all this stuff. So I'm no longer over there at all anymore, but I'm just kind of curious like how this compares just from what my knowledge of how stuff like this works.
Well, we technically only have one studio, but we'll sometimes joke about having multiple studios because we have two couches in the studio, and we'll sit on the other couch that's not technically like the studio couch. It's just like actually a couch for people to chill and hang out on before they podcast. And hey, so we'll sometimes just sit there and we'll joke, oh, we're on Studio B right now.
All right. Well, where are you based out of?
Encino.
Okay, cool. Hey, that's where AfterBuzz started, actually. Well, that's funny.
I'm actually based out of Redondo Beach, so I have to drive all the way up to Encino every week. So I am I'm a remote, I guess, host.
Eddie's such a trooper. It's unbelievable. But Eddie, you work in Century City, right?
Yeah, I do. So I pop over to Encino from Century City. So we're all, in the Valley, West LA, I guess you can say.
Right. Now, Armin, you mentioned Eddie's new series, Eddie Everything. I took a look at it. It looks like long-form interviews. Tell me a little bit about the vision for this and where you hope to take this.
Well, I want to let Eddie actually talk about that himself. It is his series and his baby.
Yeah, please. Well, go ahead.
So basically it all started when Armin had this idea of me doing an interview with Tom Schwartz. We got Tom Schwartz from Vanderpump Rules, which was huge. And the interview went so well and people really liked it that we were like, hey, what if we made this like a full-time thing, like where I just bring on guests and we have long-form interviews and I just talk to them about anything and everything, because sometimes it's hard to do topical topics where you have to know something for a specific date and someone has to, watch some content and get it all in. We thought it would just be easier to kind of talk about whatever we wanted. So we had our first guest, Gigi from Vanderpump Rules, who was also Corinne Olympios from The Bachelorette and Bachelor. She was her assistant for a while. And we got some good gossip, some good juice about that. So people seem to enjoy it for the most part. So we're going to do some more. I've got some more guests coming on. We have a relationship and dating one with another from an old assistant from The Millionaire Matchmaker. We've got a couple comedians coming on, a couple YouTubers. So different people here and there who want to talk about something and just have fun.
That's great. I mean, now is definitely the time to be doing that. I feel like so many people are open to just chatting and just trying out different platforms. And, I think it's such a great time for that. So good for you. Keep going.
Thanks. Hopefully we have some more out soon. Scheduling, like you said, is definitely hard trying to get everyone in.
It is.
And to come to Encino, it's like, okay, please. Yeah. I can make it to Encino. You can make it to the studio too. Please just try.
Yeah.
Exactly. Tom Schwartz wouldn't come out to Encino. And I understood his reasoning was that traffic is just hellacious. And so we have a friend in WeHo, or Beverly Hills actually, who has a nice apartment. And we have a little mobile recorder set up. So we went there and he met us there. So yeah, definitely Eddie's so right. People don't always love to come out here, but if they would, we're open.
Right. Yeah. I know when we used to do AfterBuzz, some of the Real Housewives wouldn't come up because they wanted us to send a black car for them. And these are OC ladies. And I'm like, you know how much money that is to go from Newport Beach in a black car to Encino? So didn't happen. I want to tell people who listen to this show, you may enjoy this podcast because, their podcast, Buttered Pop, it talks about reality TV and, of course, our Bravo people, but movies, it's a good mix. I like to try to keep this show a little bit of a mix, too. So, definitely check it out. Where can people find it? I assume on all major podcasting platforms.
Yeah, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play. They could find Buttered Pop and the other podcasts I mentioned that are on the network.
I want to read them all off. Buttered Pop, of course, iHeart Basketball, The RuPod, and Mildly Offensive. So there's some new listening consideration for you coming up for the summer listens in the podcast world. So check those out. And I really want to meet Camille coming up. I enjoy her on the podcast. So we'll have to do this again coming up.
Well, you'll have to come on ours.
Yeah, I'll do that, of course.
Yeah, and then we'll have Camille on too, so you could formally meet her.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. So, guys, thanks for doing Grant's Rants. I appreciate it, and I hope you had as much fun as I did.
Thank you. Had the best time.
Thanks for having us on.
All right, we'll be back with more rants in the meantime. If you're interested in coming to the live show June 30th, you guys can find tickets over on eventbrite.com and on all my social media. And of course, I love you for listening. We'll be back with more rants.
This has been Grant's Rants. Support the Rants on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at It's Grant's Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Aw Yeah. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen. The Grant Michael Collection.